have a little bit of business.
Jordan, would you mind dating the tape? This is May the 10th.
Yeah, this is May the 10th. No, I don't know. This is what you call. This is what you call the blind leading the blind.
His powers of persuasion are great.
Oh, everybody back to the table eating.
Glad you're in the now.
What is the date today? 7th?
February 10th.
10th?
The 10th is okay.
If you live in Los Angeles long enough, you don't know what day it is.
We got the year right.
We did the year.
Well, I feel inadequate in that I am not able to show you better than I can tell you, because 90% of what I do is visual. You have to see the kind of things I'm talking about, because I'm very interested in the occult or hidden side of the world in which we live. I may have talked about this the last time, but I'll say it again. My mother had an uncle who worked in the Vatican Secretary of State's office, and so I grew up listening to the offhanded conversation of people in politics and religion. I have two uncles who are still living today, retired federal judges in the state of Florida. My great-grandfather was a senator from Florida. One of my great-grandfather's closest friends was Senator Claude Pepper. On my mother's side, from Italy, as I said, her uncle worked in the Vatican Secretary of State's office as a civilian. And so we had clergy in our family and politicians and just a whole group of gangsters and that type. You know, they were all gangsters. I had uncles that with names like Big Joe Valenzino. Who seriously never worked a day in his life. Always had plenty of money, and no one ever questioned, Uncle Joe what he was doing. And he didn't volunteer nothing either. And so I felt that my family was reminiscent of the movie The Godfather 1. You know, it was very real to me. And so I grew up in that kind of an atmosphere, listening to the talk going on behind the scenes. And at a very early age, it became obvious to me that there were two worlds that we live in simultaneously. There's the world, the everyday world that we all see and understand and operate in. And then there's the real world. That's the money, the symbols, the emblems, and the come down that's coming down behind the scenes. And that's the scary part of this. And believe me, it is not easy talking before an audience about these things, and it's not easy living, knowing these kind of things and talking about it publicly. Because ultimately, I feel it's going to be my demise by doing what I'm doing. However, I would much rather die standing on my feet in preference to crawling on my knees. And I've had enough, and I think it's an idea whose time has come, to expose the connections behind our religious institutions in the West, our international banking cartels, and our so-called, for lack of a better term, government. And when you understand symbols and emblems and how they are used in government, seals, coats of arms, heraldry, and all of the machinations behind the scenes, and especially am I interested in German and French occultism, Illuminism, from the Middle Ages, from about the 9th century on, when the Knights Templars come into being. So much of what we call today banking, the whole concept as we know it today in the Western world of banking, being able to walk in and write a check or draw money out or deposit money, was all actually began about the last part of the 9th century and the early 10th century by a group called the Knights of the Order of the Temple of Solomon, or the Knights Templars of the Temple of Solomon. And so much of what we have in our Western world today is nothing more than occult or hidden Freemasonic movements manipulating our thinking, our lives, our religion, our futures. And of course, the most important way to affect a person's future is not to let them know anything about their past and keep them so busy in their present that they haven't time to think. And so I have been trained over the years to view things from a totally different aspect than most people do. When I go to movies, which I seldom ever do, I go because I'm watching the symbols and the stories they're telling, because you have to understand that what we call today in the Western world Judaism is in fact a different philosophy. It's called Judaism, but in fact what it is the old Celtic Druidism. And so much of the symbols and the seven candle lampstand and the yarmulke and all of the six-pointed star and the pouring of the blood on the altar and all of these things has nothing to do with anything legitimate. It has to do with a religion coming out of the 500 to 600, 700 years before our common era in Northern Europe called Druidism. The Druids were a very ancient priesthood coming out of Phoenicia, Cana, and in that area of the world that we call the Middle East. They ended up in the British Isles. They set up their Canaanite, Phoenician, Semitic-based worship, came to be known as Druids, and have sold us a bill of goods that will not quit. And it's just incredible when you understand where concepts in the synagogue and all of these stories in the Old Testament and all the concepts and belief systems that we have grown up with, where they really come from. And as I maybe have mentioned last time, but it's an important point now, I'll bring it out again for those hearing on tape, that the old ancient Druids used to work a magic, both black and white magic. And that's why we have black and white police cars, because of the conflict between black and white magic. But the old Druids used to work a magic with their magic wands, like Merlin the magician. And magic wands were always made out of holly wood. And consequently, and they're still working their magic on us with Hollywood, with their Steven Spielbergs and George Lucas. And don't for a moment think that these people are just entertainers. They're brilliant people. They are extremely well-informed, intelligent, and well-financed because of that. And so when you get into Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, you can't understand the Last Crusade if you don't know anything about the first one. And when you're talking about the Cup of Christ and the Holy Grail, a lot of people have heard about the Holy Grail and the Cup of Christ. The Holy Grail, or the Cup of Christ, is the woman's vagina. That's the blood that gives life to the world. It's the blood from the female that ultimately brings new life to the world. And so the whole concept of the Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark in the Hebrew, or the old Semitic stories, goes back to the Egyptian. There was no Egypt. There was no Lost Ark in Jerusalem. There was the Lost Ark of Egypt. That's why Indiana Jones is in Egypt looking for the Lost Ark. He's not in the Holy Land, because there's nothing holy in the Holy Land, and except for their stories. That's about the only thing that's got holes in it is their stories. And so when you, it's an incredible story. When you begin to dissect all of the stories and the emblems and the symbols coming out of Western theology and government and the corruption behind it, and basically it's money, basically it's power to control. But anyway, as I was saying, in relation to Hollywood, with Indiana Jones, you'll remember that in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, he had the Nazis looking for the Lost Ark also, okay? What are we talking about here with Adolf Hitler and the Nazis looking for the lost ark. Indiana Jones representing England and America. Remember, he was sent on the mission by the government at the beginning. Okay, you got to know anything that this government is looking for can't be decent. It's got to have another connotation to it, right? So then you find out that the lost ark, as I said, has to do with the Egyptian magic. And then when you discover if you'll remember that the Nazis had a French leader. Remember, there was a French guy who was leading the Nazi contingent looking for the lost ark. And he was the one that finally put on the trappings of the high priest at the very end and opened up the lost ark. Why the French leading the German Nazis? Because it has to do with the profoundly deep metaphysical connection between German occultism and French Illuminism, or French Grand Orient Temple Masonry, based on a very ancient secret societies and fraternal orders going back thousands of years that can trace themselves back into Egypt, both the Germanic tribes into India and through the Roman Empire back to India, and the French back into the ancient occult societies in the Middle East. And that's why the French national colors are red, white, and blue. Our colors are red, white, and blue in this country because of French, red, white, and blue. But in the Old Testament, the Knights of the Temple of Solomon, Solomon's Temple, was red, white, and blue. And that was the three colors of Solomon's Temple. When you understand who prints your money, who gives you your religion, who outlines and directs your education, it's just a phenomenal story. But getting back to the connection between the Germans and the French, then you have the other story of the trilogy of Star Wars and the Empire Strikes Back. New York is referred to as the Empire State, all right, because of the York Rite Freemasonry coming out of the Duke of York, or Fergie and Andrew. Prince Andrew is the Duke of York, who is the High Grand Master of York Rite Freemasonry. And when you understand that the connections between York Rite and the Duke of York and their installation of power in America called New York, and New York is the Empire State, which is striking back at Rome in the First and Second World War, the Empire strikes back. The return of the Jedi. The Jedi was a Masonic knight. Yoda. The word Yoda goes back to a word Utah. Yoda in the movie is Utah, and Utah is Judah. So Yoda represents the tribe of Judah, which is the mystical occult priest who are manipulating the powers that be. And so little Yoda is the holder of the light. It has to do with Statue of Liberty holding the torch of Prometheus. It's the torch of Prometheus is connected to the old Semitic concepts of the worship of God of light, or Lucifer. The reason why the Statue of Liberty has a crown of thorns, Jesus died with a crown of thorns. All of these symbols and emblems in religion and philosophy and occult emblems in government all mean something. They all put there for a reason. And the more you get into this thing, and I started out at an early age hearing this kind of crap when I was a kid, not understanding it. But you cannot sit and listen to this too long as a child and not retain some of it. And at the ripe old age of 17, I decided to devote my life to the researching and trying to get to the bottom of where does this stuff go? How far down does it go, and where does it end? I can now tell you confidently that there is no end to it. That the thing is just monumentally enormous in scope. Darth Vader wearing the old Nazi hat, and he's in black. Why black? Because black is the color of Saturn. It's the same color what Darth Vader wore, the black robe. Remember the black robe with the black Nazi helmet? The black robe is the same black robe that the Catholic priest wears, the black robe. Judges in your courtroom wear the black robe. When you graduate from university, you wear the black robe. The black is a symbol of Saturn. Saturn was the old Semitic god in the ancient occult orders in the ancient Semitic East. The planet Saturn. Saturn was chaos. Chaos is the god who brings disorder to the world. All of these things mean something. Women were told to listen to their planet, to their god Saturn, so they wore an earring. Men were to get married before their god, so they wore a wedding ring. The kings in Jerusalem, were crowned by their god Saturn, who wore the round crown, the yarmulke. All of these are symbols and emblems of ancient metaphysical secret societies, occult orders, and it has to do with a lot of deep stuff. And so, virtually speaking, nothing in this world happens by chance. When you drive by churches, you'll see the cross with the circle on the cross. The circle is the sun, S-U-N, that dies on the cross of the zodiac. When you cross winter with summer and spring with autumn, you got a cross on the circle of the old Aztec, Mayan, Inca, Egyptian, ancient sundial, and you're dividing summer and winter, autumn and spring, so therefore you have four seasons, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of these temples, all of these ideas, concepts, and belief systems are all woven by our masters for our consumption. And when you understand what the word Christ really means and what the concept really means and the whole idea of enlightenment, it is a monumental story that just does not stop. And I believe that when you understand astral theology is one of the subjects which I teach on and I'm fascinated with, you will understand what the New World Order really is and who's really behind it and how these people have been planning this for a long time. And it has nothing to do with anything recent like the secret societies of Illuminati coming out of the late 1700s. This thing is very old. It goes way back into ancient times. These priesthoods are still with us who were here thousands of years ago. They're making movies like Stargate, yeah. If you've seen Stargate.
Yeah.
And what is the thing that they find in Stargate? I go to these movies, I sit there, and I'm just amazed at watching how Hollywood is giving us another story. They find a great circle in the desert. Remember the round circle? That's the round circle, which is the Masonic circle, which you'll find on all occult symbols, always has the round circle, like in Washington, D.C., and then you have Stonehenge, the magic circle. And, of course, Stonehenge is directly connected to the pyramid in Egypt through mathematics and through their geometry of Stonehenge is directly connected to the Egyptian pyramid. That's why you have on the back of the dollar bill the triangle of the pyramid within the circle. And
let me interrupt right here.
I want to clarify what I was going to say because I know what you're going to say.
Want to take a bet?
When you understand that the Illuminati's use of the triangle and the circle means something to them, there is nothing inherently wrong with the triangle because it comes from the pyramid, and I believe that the Great Pyramid of Giza is a creation of the gods. I don't think there's anything bad about it. I think it's something very, very powerful and very important in modern-day understanding of the outworking of the world and things which are happening. So I don't have any problem with pyramids. I don't have any problem with the circle. I'm talking about the Illuminati's use of those particular symbols as they translate them today in relation to Stonehenge and the Great Pyramid. Yes.
Even as a way of saying yes, you know, it's a little bit like in very simple words. I wanted to point out that every tiny, most minuscule crevice of your community, your life, your training, everything, you have to know that these things came onto in the beginning of your planet. And the reason that these symbols and things, as you can dig them up and get historical attachment, they go all the way back to the very beginning. And the plan, of course, was laid long before there was this place. And you don't know how long this place has been here because it was created for these things. But even in something as remarkable as your Alcoholics Anonymous, where they want you to go through the 12-step program, That's all very well and good, but I want you to look at the symbol of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Triangle with
it is
circle.
A circle and the triangle.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that these have been borrowed, if not in fact stolen, from a far more ancient priesthood which has our good in mind, but has been misused and misapplied today. So I don't have any problem with the pyramid in Giza. I totally believe that it is, if not built by the hand of God, that it has absolutely divine concepts and ideas built into it, and it shows the hand of a remarkable creator. So I have no problem with pyramid, nor the circle. I'm talking about how the Illuminati, coming from the 9th century down, has used those symbols. But getting back to theology, I believe that in the New Testament, and that's the part of the book that I have here, the yellow covered book on stellar theology, and a part of that I'm putting in a 43 pages of a manuscript, which I'm doing another book on that one subject of astral theology, how these symbols are applied in the New Testament and what's actually being said there. Because there's a whole story in the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Hebrews will tell you that there's a Kabbalistic way of reading Old Testament. And when you understand what these symbols mean, what the terms mean, it's just a fascinating, incredible story about how we have been led down the garden path to accept certain concepts and ideas and belief systems. And I believe the same people who have given us our religious institutions today in the West are the same people who have given us our banking and our governments and all of the laws. And remember, when you go into a courtroom and the sheriff wears a six-pointed Star of David, it's not by chance that he wears a Star of David representing the law. And I every time I hear that word, it just runs up my spine backwards. Law.
Well, you go all the way back to Moses, for instance. Moses wasn't. If there was an entity called Moses, he did not do all of the things that they said he did.
You can bet on that.
And these are stories exactly started exactly like the Holocaust. And to me, one of the things wrong with the Holocaust story is that one to be murdered is too many.
I totally agree.
And to do what has been done with the Holocaust, to revise history. You see, they want to call you the revisionist. This man over here, you know, is a hate publisher. And he would be the one that, I mean, we would be raided. And they are a hate organization. Number one, they don't hate anybody. Number two, there's no organization. Number three, you know. They revise the history, but they say you are the revisionist for trying to make it correct. And you don't know what to do with it. When you are confronted, you don't know what to do with it. It's like taking Jerusalem, and ones like to play the word game. There is so much more valid information in the word Salem, and meaning than USA in the middle. Don't get so hung up on the silly symbolism either that they try to toss in to distract you. Because you're going to find the symbols of Satan. And I'm talking about the big boy Lucifer. Go all the way back. And you're going to find that all of this that has come forth into your modern time where you can even think historically came right out of Egypt. And you will find the same symbols coming out of Egypt that came out of Atlantis, that came out of Mu, out of Pan. And these are just the endemic things of the planet. You have no concept of how long until you can conceive how long you've been playing in the game. And every now and then, it'll flit through that you know more about this than you want to own up to. And it's like Jordan says, I'd rather die on my feet telling the truth. Why? Why would it matter to you?
Well, I'll tell you why it matters to me. Because when I leave here, there's at least the possibility I might have to face a higher power.
You damn right, buddy.
And I would like to be able to say, hey, I give it my best shot. And I did what I could. But at least I died standing on my feet in preference to crawling on my knees. Because I have a very big thing about totalitarianism in anything, government, religion, politics, whatever it is. And I am a total revolutionary from the day one in that I do not accept the authority as truth. I would much rather have the truth as the authority. And consequently, I see my world filled with lies and deception. And in relation to that, one of my big problems with the story of the Holocaust is the word. That's what bothers me. The word itself, Holocaust. You know what the word Holocaust means in Hebrew? Yeah, think about it. We're always hearing this terrible thing of the Holocaust. You know what it means in Hebrew?
Death by
fire. Now, there's what I have a problem with.
Oh, Holocaust itself is a word. That's an English word.
Yes, but
death
what does it mean?
Death by fire. Well, go ahead.
Okay.
Because, see, here's where semantics get us into trouble.
Well, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the first time we see it, we see the word Holocaust in the Old Testament in Hebrew is when Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel, the Bible says, offered up their sacrifices to God on the altar. And God chose one sacrifice and rejected the other. But in the Hebrew, it says Cain offered up his Holocaust and Abel offered up his Holocaust. And God took Abel's Holocaust and rejected Cain's Holocaust. And then I'm talking to a rabbi, a very high-ranking rabbi in America, and I ask him, run this by me again. What is this Holocaust? And he says, it's a planned, deliberate burnt offering. Okay? You don't go out to an altar and lay an animal on the altar and sacrifice it and burn it just by chance. You happen to be doing that one day and woke up and found out what I'm doing here. It's a planned burnt offering. And consequently, somebody was planning on offering up people to be burned and killed so that they could call it a Holocaust because it's a planned burnt offering. And then when you understand the implications behind the Zionist connections with the Nazis and how the Zionists were the supporters of the Nazis, and I believe, and it's my opinion, that the Holocaust was planned by the Zionists to get rid of some of the old line Jews in the eastern part of the empire, who were not going along with the new Zionist Novus Ordo Seclorum, or the new order of the world that was coming. Consequently, if the old guys in the Eastern Europe, which was the center for Judaism at the time, if the old guys don't go along with it, the new kids are not going to buy it. So if grandfather doesn't go for it and dad don't go for it, there must be something wrong. And the old line Jews in Eastern Europe were not buying the Zionist plot at all. They weren't buying it. They weren't going along with this new order of the world and America being the new world order and New York and the Empire State and all of this stuff. They weren't buying it. And they knew that there was something inherently wrong with it and they were rejecting it. So I believe that the Zionists, in order to kill two birds with one stone, one, get rid of the old guys, turn them over to the Nazis, let the Nazis kill them. This way they get them out of our hair, because ultimately we don't give a damn about Jew or Gentile. All we care about is power. It's like the mafia. It's like the underworld. They don't give a damn about human life. They don't care about your mother or your sister or your family. They want what they want, and if they have to kill you to get it, they will. They are animalistic. They have no human nature to them. Consequently, it would not bother them at all to see Jews put to death or Gentiles or blacks or anybody else. Hey, if it fits, wear it. It's whatever is needed to accomplish the political goal. And so I believe the reason why the Zionists call it a Holocaust, because they offered up their Jewish brothers purposely. It was a planned offering, a burnt offering. And then when you make the connections, which you can do in any good libraries, make the connections between Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany and the Zionists. It's all there.
They had to go completely out of their way to build those crematoriums.
Yep.
Just so they could do this. Literally go all the way around and out of their way, even until after the war, just so they could call it this. That's how vile it is. And blame someone else.
And when you hear your government talk about how they cannot seem to get a handle on the drug trafficking and the crime problem and the, you know, all of these different problems that are facing our culture, the breakdown of morality, murder, violence, and they just can't seem to get a handle on it, you better look at that whole thing again. Because this country, over 50 years ago, is unsophisticated militarily as it was 50 years ago. I mean, we were the best in the world at the time, but even we were unsophisticated as we are today. But even 50 years ago, we got a handle on Adolf Hitler. And he had a standing army all over the world with missiles and tanks and troops all over every continent. But the United States government got a handle on Adolf Hitler, but they can't seem to get a handle on the Mexican drug traffic out in Pacoima. And if you don't pay your income taxes, they'll get a handle on you real quick. They'll follow you into the Amazon jungles if it takes them $17 million, and they'll find you. And they'll bring you back here because you're messing with the money. And when you mess with the money, they're going to deal with you. I had an FBI agent in a large city, and I told him I would never use his name or the city, in a large city in California, say to me... He said to me, he called me, and he says, I want you to know that the FBI has been entertained and listening to you on your tapes and audios and your videos, and we've been watching and admiring your work from afar. And he says, we've been following everything you're doing, and we want you to know that. And I said, well, I appreciate that. My God, it's about time. I'm trying to get out there for everyone to hear me. You know. And he said, well, we've been listening to you. He said, I want you to know that the people who work for the FBI, the working class people, understand what you're doing, and we admire your work and what you do. And he says, but, however, when you expose religion, not so much with government, but when you expose religion and those who are behind it, what you're ultimately doing, whether you know it or not, ultimately what you're doing is you're exposing a very powerful criminal monetary syndicate. And they're going to deal with you big time. So when you see the Billy Grahams and all the other holier-than-thou reverends on television, you better take another look and figure out where these people are coming from, what these symbols and emblems mean. Billy Graham does not get to be all over the world and opening up churches in the Soviet Union and Russia. And you don't get Channel 40 bouncing off of satellites all over the world if the Illuminati does not want you there. So you better do your homework and find out who these people are, what their symbols are, and ultimately you're going to find out that so much of what we call religion today is money. And it's all being orchestrated behind the scenes by secret fraternal orders coming out of Germany, France, England, and America. And I am saying that, as I said in the beginning, about 90% of what I do is best done with visuals. So I will wait till next week and we will do a slide presentation. And I'm just saying to you that it is a monumental story to understand how we have been had on every turn, wherever you turn, in our system of government and theology. As I said to you, there's a connection. Last time I was here, I made the connection between the priest in the long robes, the black robes, like the judge wears the black robe. And when you walk into most churches, you will find that there is a fence with a gate, and you cannot go through the gate onto the altar, just like you go into a courtroom, and they have the fence with the gate, and only the attorneys can go through representing you to God. They are the mediator, or the logos, the word, the mouthpiece. They speak to God for you. and they intercede for you. And consequently, the judge sits three tiers high because that's the third degree of Freemasonry. He's giving you the third degree in Freemasonry. Yeah, in the courtroom, and he's looking down on you because he's God in a woman's dress, in a female dress, this incredible criminal that we call judges. I mean, that's why, and seriously, that's why in California, our system of judicial system is called the California criminal justice system. It's not the American justice, a California justice, it's criminal justice. Why? Because they know the criminals are administering the justice. It's a criminal justice system. And why? Because it's a funny thing to them. They laugh about it behind their back. They are criminals. They are the criminals. It's a California criminal justice. And the whole idea is to set up a system of justice that keeps people like me and you from talking too much, who know too much in your own country. And somewhere along the line, the people of this country are going to wake up and find out that the people who are running this government are absolute heinous criminals and need to be dealt with accordingly. And somewhere along the line, that universal God force over this whole creation is going to have enough. And I believe that this is going to be a very, very horrible circumstances are going to be visited on the earth today. And we're going to find out that the sheriff who wears the six-pointed star of David and on the presidential seal, the 13 stars above the eagle, or in the configuration of the 13 stars, in the configuration of the Star of David, and when you get in, you get out of line in this country, they say you have broke the law, like Moses threw down and broke the law. And I'm saying you better do your homework and find out where all of this judicial system and law and attorneys and Pharisaic attorney system comes from. These people are nothing more than criminals. And as I said last time, I don't want anyone to think that I have a contempt for law or attorneys, because I have an utter contempt for law. I abhor the entire system of this manipulated, exploiting, bloodletting, murderous criminal system we call a judicial system in this country. It is nothing more than a criminal system run by criminals, and somewhere there's going to be a time when the God of heaven is going to do something about it, because no nation can continue under the heel of murderers, bloodletters, and plotters like we have in our country today without some sort of a retribution from on high. And I'm telling you, this is the time for it. We are in the time in which I believe that God's Spirit is going to move, and exposure is the one thing these people cannot deal with. They can buy you off, kill you, take you in as a partner, but the one thing they can't do is they can't deal with exposure, and that's exactly what I intend to do. I intend to be in their face like ugly on an ape, and I hope they know who I am and where I am, because I believe I've been given this opportunity to do this job, and I love it. I am most happy to go after these people for who they really are. And I'll tell you something else. Just jumping on them is not good enough. You got to know the inside story, what they're doing, their symbols, their emblems, their catchphrases, their terms. And once you know that, then you become a clear and present danger to them. And so that's why I'm going to do what I do publicly, and I cannot wait for the ultimate conclusion to my work. And I want to thank you very much for allowing me to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
The coming together is happening. You see, each individual segment must make its own credibility steps. Had I just dropped in on Washington or the Super Bowl Sunday 5 years ago, 7 years ago, ever how many years ago, just from making acquaintance here, they laugh you out of the state. They laugh you out of the nation. At that point, only the ones in the higher echelon of the political circles in the elite establishment even know the reality of what they're up against. And you have to make it through all of the ridicule, all of these lawsuits, all of these pieces of nonsense and garbage to get to the point where there's credibility enough that ones began to hear the call. It isn't that, you know, Hatton's out there saying, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo. God has been saying, listen up. You are on an orb created by the thought of God. It is corrupted beyond belief because mankind falling into either the forgetfulness, the whatever you want to call it. And I have to say, whatever you want to call it, because Jordan just said it all. You are the product of what you've been told you are. And you, more than that, have been told that you may not cross this truth. And this is why you will listen to your talk shows, you'll listen to Jordan, you'll listen to me, and I will get the arguments back, what in the Bible it says. And I, toe-to-toe, with toe-to-the-square, hands across, one on the other, with Bo Brights, who was trying to find his truth in the Mormon church. Bullshit. He knew better. He knows better. And that was a lie. Don't lie to me, Bo. Well, you know, he saw me as a father figure. He saw me with the respect of a commander to a commander as far as military was concerned, which I'm not. It's just that my troops think I am. I rule like the Jews by guilt. Off on you. I accept none. It's like karma. You go ahead and accept whatever you want them to dump on you. Stand on your feet and take your own responsibility and get rid of that bullshit. Karma, Yarma, Tinker Toys. That is a cop-out. You're back here to do a job, or you're going to play with your enemy, or the one you claim is your enemy. All the way back into Egypt, they wore the little serpent. And you can tell when Akhenaten came along. He refused to wear the serpent symbol. Ah, but all the pictures have him back on his head. The Khazarians came across. They chose to make themselves in the Judaic image. They certainly didn't want any part of this Christianity. That might mean something else. But you see, you can look at the commandments and know those are not of God. God might have said, don't kill, but he never said, keep any Sabbath day holy and don't do a damn thing. He would have said, get up off your can and go to work. What have you done to rest? And then somehow it is sucked in that almost one of the commandments becomes tithing to this church of Satan.
Good time to change the tape, huh?
Probably so. Was I going to be profound or not?
No. You never know now.
You're working up to it.